Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say, could that lass be I? Mary of Soul, she sailed on a day over the sea to sky.
Welcome to the Outlander Gab on the Air. This is Erin. I'm the senior editor for 3FI Space. And we are here tonight for the next to last Men in Kilts division. So we have with us, as always, Allison. Say hi, Allison.
Hello, hello.
And Sam. Say hi, Sam.
Hello.
So we've got everybody, which is pretty good. Everybody actually got on before we went on the air today. Yeah, next week will be the final episode for season one, hopefully season one and not season only, of Men in Kilts. And next week is going to focus on Culloden and its effects on Scotland. And so I think it'll be a somber show, possibly, although Sam and Graham can liven up the dead, I think. So we'll have to see how they play it next week.
I hope they don't get too silly.
No, I don't think they would.
The whole thing is definitely not a silly situation or whatever.
Right.
Not the right word.
I don't know that I saw the preview for next week. It's not on the screener. And I don't think I saw it. So did either of you see it, the preview?
No.
I think I did. It sort of shows like an overview. They have like an overhead view of Culloden, and they sort of some vague talking about it. So it's not like any, you know, that they make it clear that it's the last one and that's what they're going to be talking about. And so,
yeah. Huh. And then after that, we end up with a fairly long Droughtlander. We still don't have a publication date for Bees, which we weren't expecting this soon. And we don't have a season six debut date, which, again, we weren't expecting this soon. So we have a whole lot of nothing in the Outlanderverse. You know, we still have a lot of uncertainty about events. I don't even know of any other than possibly whatever happens with Vancouver and Through the Stones, which is currently a go, but we'll wait and see. Have you heard of anything else, Sam, that's coming up other than these virtual?
Not Outlander specific. There's a couple of, I know, multi-fandom ones. There's a couple. But again, I'm waiting to see like the reconfirmation of new sales, new people being announced, new whatever. But
right.
I think people are being fairly conservative. But like I know like the larger ones like Wizard World and, well, San Diego, we talked about last week, you know, they announced
right.
that they're going to have a smaller one, small compared to San Diego normal. but we don't know if there's going to, who is actually going to show up. Is it all going to be more focused on what the original Comic-Con was, which is the comic books and the authors and the artists and maybe less about the actual filming actors. I don't know.
It'll
be interesting.
All we can do is wait and see. But today is Tartan Day.
Yay!
So it's appropriate that we're on the air. Did either of you wear tartan today?
No.
Well, I'm sitting on a couch that has a tartan pillow, so I'm always kind of tartany. So. Otherwise, it was almost 80 degrees out. I wasn't going to wear like a woolen scarf.
No. So, yeah, I did actually get outside today for a minute and a half, you know, on my way to an appointment and back. So in and out of the car.
We walked over to the elementary school to vote.
Very good. Yeah, we had some sort of municipal election or local election, and bad. I did not look at candidates for anything. I know our city had a mayoral election, and I know there's one guy on the ballot that we did not want, but beyond that, I knew nothing else about the other candidates.
It was a mayoral election here, too, and the current mayor is running without anybody. Yeah, and people I know who are writing anybody else on the write-in.
And you live in a big suburb, so that's
yeah.
something. Yeah.
And of course, not to get political, but I was able to do a mail-in vote. I've been doing the mail-in vote since we moved up here, and it's worked out quite well.
Good.
Cook County's pretty much got it down like a science.
Yeah. Our mayor died last year, so they were filling an empty space. It was a fairly young man. I think he was in his 50s. So, but it was a sudden death. And he had been mayor for most of the time we've lived here, so 12 years, 15 years.
Every time I hear about somebody who shouldn't have died, I'm like, was it COVID? But I obviously, if it was sudden, it wasn't COVID. But
no, he had a heart attack. I don't think it was at all COVID. In fact, I think it had to have been last year, because otherwise we would have had an interim election. Any longer than that, but anyway, so we're kind of waiting to see what happens with book signing announcements, and there have been a couple of virtual Diana things recently,
mm-hmm.
and Sam, you did the United Chase Card event with Sam Hewen.
I did
last week, and wrote up a great recap for us for 3FI Space, which has just blown me away in the number of people who have looked at it. So that's been fantastic.
Which blows me away because I'm the photographer, not the writer. So.
mm-hmm.
Well, we were happy to have you do that. You know, we're always happy to have people come to 3FI Space. And if there's anybody out there who goes to an event or does anything like that and would like to give me a recap, I will be happy to publish it, because I certainly don't go to everything, and it would be great to do that for anything that's coming up, you know, no matter how big or small.
Exactly. And not to plug my own little post there, but during the post, if you go out there and read it, a friend of our radio show actually has they gave us this really nice custom swag box of goodies, and I talked about it in the article a little bit, but through some interesting circumstances, she's found herself in possession of an extra one. So she's going to do some kind of a raffle or something to give away to people who would like to, and then the proceeds going to a charity. As you know, it's Cats and Kilts, and she'll have it on her own Facebook, or actually she's on Twitter mostly, and then she runs a Caitlin Orion fan group called Caitlin's Coterie, and
mm-hmm.
She's actually looking to see if Caitlin has a preferred charity that she would like to have the proceeds go to. So that would be fun. So that's a little bit of that in the article too. So she's sharing the wealth.
So just go to 3fispace.net, and it's pretty visible on the main page. I don't think we've had too many posts.
Just look for the picture, Sam.
Yeah. I don't think it's pushed it off the main page yet. So so I think it's still there. But other than that, it seems to be, you know, a fairly quiet time. Discovery of Witches is finished for season 2.
Mm-hmm. I finally got to see it.
Very good, very good. And what did you think of it?
I think it was done really, really well. I was very happy with it. I think they got all the main points in. I mean, that really needed to be in. that they covered. I didn't feel like I was missing anything. I got the story.
Good.
I'm happy
good.
With it. I was sorry it was over.
I think I want to go back and rewatch season one and season two. So, I mean, I've seen all of season two, but I would like to go back and rewatch the whole thing.
And then maybe reread.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to start book three soon. But maybe not that soon because I've just started my Outlander reread before
right.
Bee. Like just started over the weekend. So I'm up to the red portion of Outlander. So,
ooh, all right.
So that's not that far in. And I have not seen the show, but I understand that Bridgerton is losing its hunk for season two.
Well, last season's hunk, but yeah.
Well, and the poor guy's getting beaten up for it when realistically, if you've read any of the books, each of the books are very self-contained. And they actually sold that to him as a, you know, hey, we want you to be in this series, but your story is the first one. Can you sign on for a year? And that was actually what attracted him to the role. So I kind of mm-hmm. feel bad. And who's to say that, you know, they want might not get him for a cameo every once in a while, but his contract was only for the year, so...
Right.
Yeah. Well,
right.
His character definitely shows up all through the books, just not.
But like
not,
in a snippet here or a snippet there,
right.
It's not like there's no storyline with him.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's definitely still on my list to watch.
yeah.
My next.
You need
it
to watch
my
it.
Next binge. So. if I can tear myself away from Star Trek.
it's completely different from Star Trek, night and day.
That's part of its appeal at the moment. I think if I jump to something like Battlestar Galactica or one of those other shows, I think it just might feel too much like Star Trek at the moment. So I think I need something completely different. Either that or I'll go rewatch Picard. So who knows what I'll do. But
Star Trek, Erin.
So for those of you who are interested in looking for something this week that's virtual, actually it's next week, is did you guys, I think you probably are part of the Inverness Outlanders where Sinead and mm-hmm. some of our other friends are there.
Right.
They're mm-hmm. going to be doing a live Culloden program. So if you go out to Inverness Outlanders on Facebook, there's a link there. It's online. It's free. It's going to be talking all about the 275th anniversary of Culloden. And I think it would be really interesting.
Yeah.
They do some really great videos, you know,
yes.
Some lives that you can still watch. So those are always very interesting. And it's fun to see contemporary Scotland.
Right. And of course, they've got access to all of these local historians and authors, and it's always real special when they have some of these
right.
Events.
So that would be fun, not necessarily fun since it's Culloden, but interesting and well worthwhile to see. I have to kind of watch myself with that. So we've got
How about
that.
Interesting? How about
interesting? Interesting is a word that when you're a writer, you try not to use because it doesn't really mean anything. You know, you get a new haircut, and if somebody says, that's really interesting, you need to go back to the salon and get it redone.
Yeah. My grandfather, who was a Harvard professor, if we use the word interesting, would say interesting is a noncommittal word.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And then we'd go, oh, and we'd have to, like, think harder about saying something better. He would, like, he wouldn't accept it at all. It's like, interesting? What? So when I say interesting, I'm like, oh, he said it's noncommittal. What am I going to say instead?
Yes,
I hear his voice.
It. Yeah. So our, we have a birthday coming up.
Yes, that was the other thing I was going to talk about if you want to. It's Ed Spaliers. It's his birthday tomorrow. And
you
can I actually
talk
thought,
about Ed Spaliers, and it's better
I know,
to show
and,
me pictures. So.
I know, but you know, I didn't want to start drooling. You might, you know, start be difficult to hear. But he and his friend Ed are doing a fundraiser. His friend Tom's father, I think, I'm trying to remember now the story. It's a fundraiser for dementia, rare dementia support in the UK. And yes, it is Tom's dad. I'm looking it up as we speak to make sure I'm not misspeaking here. And they were trying to raise funds for that. Now, they had set themselves like a 5,000 pound goal, and they've actually surpassed it, but they're going to be running like 200 kilometers. So this is, you're actually sponsoring them and funding them, and then they're going to run themselves ragged. So I couldn't run 2 kilometers, so I got to give him I got to give him all the credit in the world.
To run.
Yes, yes. I do remember signing up. This is about, oh gosh, a dozen years ago, I signed up for a local YMCA, you know, it was supposed to be a beginner's fitness class, like getting back into shape kind of a thing. And this cute little college co-ed is our instructor. And we get there the first day and she has a stretch out and she goes, okay, now to warm up, I've mapped out this 3 kilometer run to warm up. And I had to take her aside, and I had to say, honey, that's my goal. By the end of this 8 weeks, I want to be able to do that. That's not the warm-up on the first day.
Right, right. That's death to your class.
Oh, man. But, yes, I give him all the credit in the world for both, you know, raising money for that kind of a cause and raising awareness. And as someone whose mother-in-law had Alzheimer's and dementia, I know that that's just a horrible thing to happen to the whole family. So anything that they can do for research and support on that is a phenomenal.
I'll have to go look at that, because as you two know, my mother is at the beginning of that journey. So,
So hard, we'll hard on the patient, also hard on the family. So,
yes. Yeah. So, all right. This week's Men in Kilts. What did we think?
Men in Kilts.
I agree with what you thought. I think it was much better than it was better put together than the other ones. But you know, part of it, I think, is there was more of Clanlands in it than in any of the others.
Yes. There was more of it filmed during the Clanlands filming, too.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask if, because even that chairlift seemed to be very much out of the book, and I wasn't sure. They never actually said where they were, if that was, you know, a chairlift up to Ben Nevis, or because the one day that my mom and I were going to take that the lift up, because you can take that up to about 2/3 of the way up the Monroe, it was so stormy and rainy and windy that they weren't operating. So I can't tell you for sure if that's the one we would have been on, because the one we would have been on was completely in a cloud.
It seems like they included it just to get Sam teasing Graham about heights, because there's no other reason I can see of it being in there.
Right.
Other than the beautiful background. But.
Mocking McTavish, you mean?
Yeah.
Winding him up.
That might be the secondary title. So this year it's like Men in Kilts, and then they've got the subtitle of...
Mocking McTavish.
what's their subtitle? An adventure with Sam and Graham or something like that. This was going to be, Men in Kilts number 2, Mocking McTavish.
Right. Yeah.
They could probably do a whole season, or at least a whole episode of all the times Sam and McTavish.
Yeah. There was one point, though, they did talk about going to Graham's family castle about 20 minutes before they did it.
Yes, they skipped around a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so that was a little bit of an editing issue, I thought. But on the whole, they weren't skipping so much from place to place that it was noticeable. I mean, yes, they did skip from place to place, but the way, you know, you weren't flying somewhere and then end up on the other end of the country. You know?
Right.
I think the only piece that was really confusing like that was the gondola. Like, what was that and why?
Right.
Yeah.
So
that was interesting. I thought that this, I did enjoy the stuff about the feuds. And again, you know, biggest complaint is not enough time spent on any one thing. So that's why I tried in my review to put some little bit of a deeper dive on some of those things. The Trump and Church, that whole feud between the McLeods and the McLeods, the McDonald's. That's right. Yeah, that was very interesting.
Gosh, how horrible. What a horrible story.
I found Colin S. McDonald's Son of Sky blog, and he talks about a lot of that. So that was really a lot to go into, you know. I put the story in the review about the young girl who survived, and she ran back to get her Klansmen, and they all came and they wiped out the people who had wiped them out, you know, at Trump and Church. So,
and on a separate sort of note, but not as serious, is the lullaby they were talking about.
Yeah.
I'd sort of like to hear it. I mean,
all children's lullabies and songs from back then had an odd, you know. Have you ever actually, you know, listened to Rockabye Baby and you know, even the Ring Around the Rosie is about the Black Plague. And,
I mean, we should get back to singing Ring Around the Rosie right now.
Yeah. We don't have a rose-colored mark ring around the wheezy or something. I don't know. it was an interesting. There's our word. It really was a fascinating dive into the people history.
Right.
You know, we've had food and we've had whiskey and we've had scenery, you know, but we haven't had so much people history.
I think that Graham was not kidding. He was very excited to see his ancestral home. I mean, when you do have roots and you know where your clan is and you know, it is very interesting to search that out because you can directly tie, just like I can directly tie to the Frasers in Beaulieu, Scotland.
Right.
And I actually, when I was there with my mother a couple of years ago, we had family members that took us to Beaufort Castle and showed us around. And in fact, it was so interesting, that whole segment, I was just glued to it because I was there. I have pictures from those same vantage points. In fact, my pictures are even closer because my uncle, Kenny, actually did the ironwork on like the gates and whatnot for that estate. And that was obviously, it's now a private home. The Lord Lovett, the current one, had to sell it to pay off some inheritance taxes.
He sold it
back in the 90s.
An heiress. Heiress.
Yes.
If you are listening to this and you are watching the slideshow that is on the Blog Talk Radio page, you will see Sam's pictures of Beaufort Castle, and you can see some of the ironwork that she sent me pictures of. And there's also a family picture there. You see Samantha and her mother Faith and Uncle Kenny.
Yep.
Is that right, Uncle Kenny?
Yeah, Kenny and Kelvin. And it was, you know, what was really cool is my mother had sort of pen paled back earlier on the day, like because when I was in, I don't know, maybe elementary school, maybe junior high, my cousin, who's, you know, a little bit younger than I am, we started pen paling, you know, with pencils and pens and actually sending letters back and forth. So the moms started sort of conversing for a little while too. And then as we got older, it dropped off. Well, then along comes this thing called the internet, where you can find people and keep up with people using technology. So even about a year or two before I went to Scotland again, I started looking up and trying to find my cousin again. And of course, you know, she's since moved, but I also sent a letter to the last known address, which was they name their houses in the Highlands. So I was sending it to the name of a house, and it didn't even have like a street address. It was like the name of the house and the name of the village and the name. It was just, you know, I'm like, wow, okay. And but it got there, and actually her mom had written back and given me how to get a hold of her, and then I had found her on the internet. So we had been sharing pictures back and forth. So of course, by the time we got there, it was very nice to see them in person and meet her children now. And but my mother at the time was 70, and her first cousins, who she had never met in person, were 65, 80, 81, and 82. And they and their wives were just the absolute nicest people in the world. We had such a wonderful time. They showed us. They were so thrilled. I remember back in the 80s, they had done a video tour of certain areas saying, oh, this is where my mom's, you know, father, this is where he was born, and this is where he worked, and this is where he lived. But I remember when they sent it over, they forgot that, okay, they sent this tape over, but we had to go and have a place change it because the UK and the US speeds weren't the same. But it was interesting. Right. I really wish I could find that now. But so they kind of took us on the same tour. So we got to see houses that meant something. We got to go to cemeteries, and I got to see gravestones from people whose names I only knew. So it was really, really interesting. And I swear, every single Scottish person knows how to spin a yarn. They know how to tell a story, and their favorite subject is how you're related to this person. And it really is. So when I see that on the on Outlander, or when I read about it, Diana was not kidding. She knew what she was talking about. This is a favorite topic, you know. But it was really well done, and I loved seeing my family. So I know how Graham felt, even though there was a trailer park all around his family.
Oh my God! How sad is that?
It was, you know, I loved seeing them pull up and having Graham yell out, "Are you a McTavish?" And she says no. But wouldn't it have been something though if it had been a McTavish? But again, on the review, I've got a little bit more of the history of Sween Castle, which was named for Sven, the Viking who came and invaded that area. And then there were a lot of Irish who came and intermingled and married with the Scots. So that was something, you know, to kind of see that. But you would not want to have a 4-star experience staying overnight in Sween Castle.
No. I don't think you'd have a 4-star. You'd have a -star experience.
I can picture Graham as a Viking, though, can't you?
Absolutely.
He would be a very, no. He would be the funniest
Not how he behaves, but his appearance.
His appearance. Oh, he would hate it, yeah.
His behavior, no.
His attitude, no. Based on Viking ships, I know they did.
No, he's pretty far from a Viking, I'm sorry. They would drum him out of the Viking Corps. So... You pumps. I did enjoy when they went and talked to Sarah Fraser at Beaufort Castle, and the segment with Rob Roy and Donald McLaren. What a voice.
Yeah.
What a voice. I could listen to him read the phone book. he just had a beautiful voice. So that was interesting. And Peter Lowry taking up the cause for Rob Roy, being buried in front of the kirkyard. That was really
don't really think we'd have put our enemies in point of place in our cemetery.
I mean, really, that's a really important point. I mean,
good point.
Yeah.
But apparently his son, Rob Roy's son, lived in that village, and he's buried there with his wife and two other children. So there is some good reason to believe that he really is there. Now, whether the McLarens believe that or not, they have a good point, too. So, but my favorite segment of last night was something that's a little more personal, and that was Claire Campbell from Prickly Thistle. And it was really not that everything else wasn't very fascinating and historical, and I absolutely love that, but Claire Campbell and Prickly Thistle is something that's known to Outlander fans for the last couple of years. And Claire owns the only woolen mill currently operating in the Highlands. And she's actually renting space right now and had a program designed to get up enough money to build a new mill. And if you go to her website, which is Prickly Tartan, not Prickly Thistle, but PricklyTartan.shop, there are renderings of what they are planning to do. And looking at it, it looks like it was supposed to be finished last year, but we all know what happened to 2020. It might as well just poofed and never existed as far as plans go. But Prickly Thistle runs by a set of values that include being environmentally conscious. She does not use plastic packaging. She uses recycled and recyclable packaging for everything. She has all of her garments, the kilts and everything, cut on the square so that they have as little waste as possible, and that they use to either pulp into something or to compost. And, it's just a number of excellent values that are well worth looking at and considering when you're purchasing something. I would strongly suggest that you just take a look at her website. But yesterday, with the help of our Sam here, I was able to spend about an hour talking to Claire about Prickly Thistle and about building the mill from scratch and about her association with Sam Heughan and the Kickstarter programs. The first one that she had failed. And it took her a little bit, not long. She kind of kicked herself and got herself moving and retooled the Kickstarter. And then finally, with Sam's help and with the help of a lot of Outlander people, she was able to raise enough money to get Prickly Thistle started. So, and then, of course, we had the wool walking segment right after that, and that was actually done at Prickly Thistle, which they didn't say. And the ladies from the Wool Walking Society were demonstrating on Claire's dining room table. So
I love that segment, and I love listening to them sing and do the whole thing. It's just so interesting.
It was. And
I think I've actually met some of those ladies before, because a couple years ago when we were at in Inverness, the Inverness Outlanders, again, they're just so tied into everybody, did a day at the, where they did rent at the Highland Folk Museum.
Right.
And they did a wool walking. And so we got to watch them and listen. And then we all got to take part in it and sing along and do the movement of the, it was really a lot of, it was educational. I'm not going to say interesting. No, but it was a lot of fun. That was really neat. Of course, it wasn't traditionally wet wool like you now know from Outlander what it would have been wet with. It was
right.
dry fabric, but it was good.
Yeah. And apparently one of the ladies in that wool walking group is about as old as Claire's oldest loom, which she will tell you was built in 1929. So
Wow. That's,
you know, kind of a fascinating little fact. So just for all of you, I have a couple of the, an audio clip of some of my conversation with Claire. And then I'd like to say tomorrow, so hopefully tomorrow afternoon, I'll be posting the whole interview and a whole lot of pictures and videos from Prickly Thistle. So look for 3FI Space for the entire interview, and you can learn something about Prickly Thistle. So let's hear this, and then we'll talk about it on the other side. And
the intro to your segment last night on Men and Kilts started with the clans have produced all their own tartans, but you don't actually produce clan tartans. Tell us about that and why you don't.
Yeah, it was something that I sort of made this sort of promise to myself and to all of the others who had gotten to know, and what was a really shocking for me how small Scottish textile was as an industry. I didn't really appreciate how few mills had been left in Scotland when it used to be, you know, one of our sort of major industries for employment. So having worked for a few years with these other mills and getting to know them really well, I had the utmost respect for what they were doing, what they had been doing, and knowing that they actually had to work really hard to kind of, you know, stay in the game. So it was really important for me that when I sort of, in my wisdom, thought it would be a good thing to come and create a textile weaving in the mainland Highland region again, because there was nobody. At that point, there used to be a mill many, many years ago that was, you know, a couple of hundred years old, but sadly closed down. But it was really important for me that when we did that I didn't displace what was the mainstay, the bread and butter, if you like, of their business. And a lot of these businesses had really perfected the creation of all these amazing clan tartans that everyone, you know, was familiar with, and, you know, the whole sort of Highland dress garments. So for me, it's really important to come in and contribute to the sector, you know, for the respect I had for these people. We don't do clan tartans.
One of those people who believed in you was Sam Hewen.
Yes.
And can you tell me about that relationship?
I know everybody who's going to be listening to this will know him probably better than I do, to be honest. But no, he's been, you know, in terms of his sort of graciousness and kindness, because, you know, I can imagine, you know, people who've got such sort of fame and sort of so many people, you know who he is, and, you know, the world is really quite fast and sometimes probably really, really difficult for a lot of people who are under big spotlights. So for me, it was just I think you'd have to ask him, but for me it was like an outright just fluke one Sunday that I managed to catch his attention on social media, and I was just like, you know, thank you so much. And that's when we were doing the crowdfunding, and then just kind of never met him probably for about a year, but just kind of he shared it on. He obviously liked the idea of the project. He thought this is, you know, I'm putting words into his mouth, but he probably thought this is quite good to bring it back. So yes, he helped spread the word about our Build the Mill campaign. Yeah, and then one Sunday, you know, a phone call, and it's, you know, you're speaking to Sam here, and then you're like, oh my God, thank you so much for helping us. And then to be blown away and to be able to work for him in creating his own design. So yeah, it was just, you know, it was absolute luck. That there's no doubt about it. That one was that day that he managed to catch his attention with what we were trying to do.
Sam's a terrific guy, I think. I've met him a couple times, just briefly, you know, been able to interview him briefly, but he's gotten involved in a lot of small projects and supporting people. And I think it's just great, you know, that people can people who have that celebrity and fame can use it in a positive manner, you know. So, so then, like we said, you were featured in last night's episode of Men in Kilts. Tell us about filming that. When was that filmed first? Because we know there were two sets of filming dates. Tell us about filming that and how long it took and how long were they were there.
We've been very lucky. We had to keep it very quiet that we were doing, you know, this design for him and things like that. So it was, so he'd been up a couple of times. This has gone back to, I think it was September 2019 that they were up when they were first doing, you know, Clanlands type filming back then, right. when himself and Graham announced it. I think it was one of the My Peak Challenge gala suppers, which is Sam's amazing charity, just to go back to, you know, he's such a giving, just a decent guy, we would say. You know, there's nothing, you know, he's just very down to earth. What you see is what you get. And so it was just September and they were going round and doing some bits and pieces. And yeah, so they just, you know, they asked, can we come to the mill? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, they were here for a day. They were up here, well, they're kind of moving around the sort of East Coast and West Coast. They were up for a couple of days and sort of got to see them when they were at Culloden. And and then they came out here on the Sunday and got the kind of the ladies for Walking the Rule who were all here. And it was the sweetest thing. There was a lady who actually is the same age as one of our oldest looms. It was incredible. So they were all there and they were super excited to meet Sam and Graham and Gary Lewis, I think it is. Gary Lewis is there as well.
Yeah.
And so they were super excited. And it was my dining room table that they were doing the demonstration. The funniest thing was there was at one point they were all so desperate to get their picture taken with Sam and Graham and Gary and things like that. So the guys were like, yeah, we'll get on the table. So they're lying on the table with all these ladies around them. And I'm sitting there going, I have to eat my Christmas dinner off that table. I'm never going to, I don't know. But no, it was an amazing day. I mean, their schedule was just crazy. I don't know how they did it. You know, they had the most amazing production team who were involved then and involved through what everyone's seeing just now, through Sony Stars, in terms of kind of organisation, an amazing lady called Michelle who was just, yeah, she was getting it done. She was getting, you know, she was the boss. She was in charge.
Yeah.
So they were here all day, but they were literally, you know, back to back. I don't know how they did it. You know, I think it was in between sandwiching and filming. So it was like as soon as he probably, I was Jamie Gear, he was straight in another vehicle and heading to the next location and doing all of that. So it was fantastic. You know, when you see it on screen, we've had a couple of people come and do some bits here before, but yeah, there was like, you know, back then in September, it was pre-COVID and everything, but there must have been about 20 folk there in the background, sort of getting everything moving, you know, deploying like a whole army in and out with me or whatever. But no, it was fantastic. And my daughter came along with me as well, so she could get to meet them. She was a bit shy and embarrassing. So, but now that she's a little bit older, she's like, oh yeah, she's like, tells her pals, yeah, my mum's, you know, but yeah, and she was really shy. And I remember Sam saying to her, do you want a picture? And she's like, she was just too shy. Now I think she's regretting it. She probably does wish she had a bit.
And it was
a great day.
That's good. That's good. It was fun watching the loom working and seeing Sam's tartan being produced. And of course, now we know that's been sold. You know, we've been able to buy pieces.
That was just, you know, another sign of incredible generosity of him to be, you know, to not only did he help fundamentally get Build the Mill going. I joke, you know, this mill is as much yours as it is mine. I don't think he realizes one day I'm going to hand him the keys and I'm going to go home and I'm going to put my feet on and say, it's all yours now. But no, I mean, but fundamentally, you know, I would kind of say we probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him and his kind of generosity in sharing it. To be able to create his fabric here as well, I just thought for me, it was that whole integrity piece. I thought, you know, this is amazing. He believes in the whole kind of Made in Scotland concept. You know, and that was another bit, you know, going back to a couple of questions here, that it was actually, you know, it's an it's our heritage, it's our culture, and so many amazing people like yourself who supported us. And, you know, for me, I want to be able to, you know, give us an authentic, a Scottish product as possible, because that's what it is. And people do believe that's what they're getting. So, like, you know, for me, it was like massive kind of, you know, hats off to Sam for really having, you know, that integrity, which I just thought was phenomenal for somebody who, you know, has got lots of options. Let's put it that way.
The intro to your segment last night on Men in Kilts started with...
There we go. we kind of started over there a little bit. So we just want to clear up on Facebook, or I'm sorry, on Instagram and Twitter, Claire is at Prickly Tartan. The website is pricklysistle.shop or pricklysistlescotland.com. Is that right? Did I get that right? Pricklysistlescotland.com.
Yes. Yes.
And I really suggest you take a look through it. Yesterday, she introduced a new collection called Pop. It's under Prickly Thistle. It doesn't say Pop, but when you go to it, it does. And boy, does it pop. And this is one I want from my from my husband for my birthday. It's bright pink and blue and yellow. That's absolutely beautiful. And then she's also running a contest. There is, and some of you may be very familiar with this. I was not. But there is a comic book in Scotland called Beano with a character named Dennis. And Dennis wears a red and black coat. And so Claire designed a tartan for Dennis's 70th anniversary and put that tartan up just a couple of a week or so ago. And with every piece you buy of the Dennis tartan, you get a ticket. And at the end of 70 days, Claire will pull one numbered ticket, and the winner will get a tour of the mill and get to design their own tartan and get 2 meters of your personal design fabric. And the video that she has on her Twitter page for this contest just makes it look like fun, you know. So who wouldn't have fun designing their own tartan? But I strongly suggest that you go to Twitter and follow Claire and take a look at her videos. But like I said, hopefully late tomorrow I will have the entire interview with her and some pictures and some videos. So
can't you just listen to her talk all day? She's just so vivacious, and she's got the cutest little accent. And
yes.
I mean,
she's so enthusiastic about what she's doing.
Well, when you listen to the whole interview, you'll see exactly how enthusiastic she is. in fact, she came back last night. She had told me she works late, so doing it at the time we did it, which was 1:30 Chicago time, but it was 7:30 her time. She actually came back to do this, and it started snowing, and it was coming down just in, you know, buckets. And she had told us about going home at one point and getting stuck about a mile from her house and having to wake up her husband to come and help get the car out.
Not yesterday. That was a previous.
Right, not yesterday.
That was a previous winter.
Right. So she did message me this morning saying she got home safely. So that was good. But it was getting darker and darker as we were talking to her, you know, on the Zoom call. So, but that was really a lot of fun talking to her. But she really is enthusiastic about working with Scottish artisans and being environmentally conscious, and about making your dreams happen. She calls herself a rebel, and she says she's not quite sure what that really means, but she thinks that if you decide you want to do something, you can do it. You just need to find a way. So I strongly suggest that everybody go out and take a look at her stuff, and take a look at her website, too. Her videos are beautifully produced, and she's just somebody that I'm very enthusiastic about supporting. So so something came up, 92Y. Sam, you found that and you wanted to mention that.
Yeah, I forgot about that because we talked about it a bit ago when we were talking about all the virtual stuff, and then that's another one that's coming up this Thursday. I'm pretty sure that it was only like $20. It was a really inexpensive one because it's just a webinar where Sam and Graham are going to be talking. So I think we had actually put the link to that back when we were doing it. But Sam and Graham are going to be doing the Men in Kilts. If you haven't gone out for a ticket, I suppose that it would still be available. It's a webinar, so I don't know what their maximums were, but it was very inexpensively priced. So it's something that for me, when I got the reminder, it reminded me that, oh, that's right, I bought a ticket to that. I should make sure that it's on my calendar.
I have to look at that again because I know I didn't buy a ticket. I wasn't quite sure what my schedule was going to be.
Right.
But I'll have to look at that again. I would invite you to call in and talk to us, 929-477-3898. We are wanting to talk to you. we would love to talk to you. I wish I could remember exactly what Eliza's father in My Fair Ladies is. We was wanting to talk to you. We was willing.
Wow. So I did catch one more thing. Oh, did you already give out the number?
Yes.
Yeah, you did. Okay. So while we're waiting for somebody to come on the line, unless there's somebody there, I remember how my nitpicky thing from last week where they would mention a word but they wouldn't actually describe what it was. And I think I understand the terminology that the Fraser lady used at the Beaufort Castle, but she said when Graham was giving Sam a hard time about how he wasn't truly a Fraser, and mm-hmm. she said, well, for a little bit of money, he could be a Balmoral Fraser. Now, I'm assuming that that word meant honorary, but I looked up everything that I had on like Gaelic translations. I Googled it. Maybe I'm not spelling it right. Does anybody actually know what that term Balmoral means?
Hmm.
No.
I'm assuming she meant honorary, or you know how you can like
right.
join, or you know how they
right.
also have those.
You could be a lord or
lady
of
Scotland.
Five
yeah,
bucks,
that's what
so,
I was
yeah.
thinking too. So okay, I wasn't sure. So if anybody happens to know, because I did, I Googled it. I went and looked at my Gaelic dictionaries. I okay, it's a mystery.
I wondered if you were going to say argy bargy. Because she said that they had a little argy bargy. And that actually last week before, you know, you trolling through YouTube and coming across weird little things. And I found Henry Cavill and Simon Pegg defining British terms. And argy bargy was one of them. And it's just kind of a tussle, you know.
Yeah. Clash McCavel. Yeah, it's just, yeah. I love some of those terms. Well, of course, just coming across Henry Cavill on Instagram is never a bad thing anyway, but just saying.
Yeah, and that was a cute little a little video, and I think I did post it in Outlandishly 3 of My Space, because I know there are some people who have a nice, healthy Henry Cavill little crush there, so. just kind of looking up honorary clan membership on the Google to see if I can find
Google?
It. On
oh,
the
man.
Google.
Did you really say that?
I did. I say that all the time.
To be able to say that? Oh, gosh.
Just for fun. Just for fun. And it's not showing up anywhere quickly, you know, because I would lose my attention and totally get myself lost. In.
Are you questioning
Google,
my Google skills?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Please call us, 929-477-3898. We are currently enacting or reenacting the feud portion of last Sunday's Men in Kilts. Just like I said we would in the entrance to the show.
You know, so, us Frasers are Scots. We don't keep, you know, we make sure that those family feuds go on for centuries.
Well, I'm a McGinley and they're part Scottish too. So I just kind of in the last year found out that I have Scottish descent. Oh, my son with his little baby is messaging us again.
Aww.
You know, he doesn't quite have the idea down that this is when I'm on the radio. My grandson and my son live in New Zealand, and they just today switched him from his bassinet to his crib, and Greg is saying that they keep finding him rolled over from his back to his tummy. So, okay, we have a caller. Let's see who this is. Hi, you're on the air. Who is this?
It's Jamie.
Hi, Jamie. Well, how are you? Jamie. We haven't talked to you for a couple weeks now.
Can you hear me okay? Because I'm not sure how well the connection is.
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
Can hear you.
Can hear you fine. Yeah.
Okay.
So, what did you think of Men in Kilts? What did you want to chat about tonight?
It was really good.
Go away.
I went in her room, I locked the door, and I thought she was going to pull it off the hinge. And I went through a weird way, thinking she wouldn't see me sneak in here. But I needed a quiet place to go.
Your children will see where you're going. You cannot get away.
Yeah.
So what specifically did you like? Was there anything in particular?
There were so many parts of it that were fascinating. The feud, I felt so bad for Graham with all the trailer park and the ribbing that Sam was giving him, and so he didn't let it go. And it was funny, but I felt bad for him at the same time. But I guess I must be excited about this show because I tried to tune into it Friday and didn't realize it was Friday. And thought it was Saturday, and I uninstalled and reinstalled my Stars app, and I'm like, why won't this work? And then I went to bed, and I'm like, oh, it's only Friday.
That's why it doesn't work. Got it.
Yeah, so I guess I get a little excited about this show that I was trying to tune in a day early.
Well, that's all right. We won't fault you for that at all.
Mm-hmm. I really liked your interview with Claire from the Prickly Thistle.
Yeah.
Prickly Tartan.
Well, thank you.
That
yeah,
was
Prickly
really
Thistle,
fascinating.
Yeah. There's a lot more, so make sure that you look for it tomorrow when I post the rest of it.
Absolutely. I can't wait.
It was
fun. I'm trying to remember if there was nothing that jumped out specifically. All I know is I watch the whole show, and then when the credits come on, I'm like, already? It just
right.
goes too fast. Because
it goes too fast.
It's literally, you're just getting a little taste of each thing. And it's kind of like, I wanted more. It's just not enough. And there's so much that they could do. And I'm thinking, there had to be so much more filmed. And...
Yeah.
Are we ever going to get to see that? So hopefully they just underestimated the popularity of the show and that maybe on the DVDs we'll get extra stuff, or like if hopefully there's a second season, they will make it an hour. They will go more in depth.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Cause
I'm hoping we get just a really kick-ass DVD set,
mm-hmm.
you know,
oh, yeah.
with
I hope
lots
so,
of
too.
Stuff on it. So
I have seen people comment on different web groups that they say, oh, my husband won't watch Outlander with me, but he likes Men in Kilts. So that's a good, you know, that there's guys out there that, okay, I don't want to watch Outlander, but yeah, I'll watch this show. So that's got to help their viewership too.
Well, it's two manly men off on a road trip. You know, what's
mm-hmm.
not to like? They drink whiskey. They lift rocks, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, so.
And just their sense of humor is just hysterical.
Right.
And just listening to them are just so much fun. So it's really nice to see all these things. But now to anticipate the Culloden will definitely be, I think, a lot more somber. And I'm hoping that they don't really interject too much of Outlander into it, maybe a little snippet or two, but the appropriateness to the theme and to the respect
right.
of everything. I'm hoping that they're careful about that.
Yeah.
Not that
I
turned down a go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think that they're both reverent
mm-hmm.
towards, you know, Scottish history and Outland, or and Culloden. And I don't think
yeah.
that there's any way, I don't think that's something we have to worry about. But
I hope that Sam and or Graham or possibly Sam's business partner, Alex, gets a final C of the edited portion
mm-hmm.
to say, okay, we're okay with this or we're good with the way it looks.
Right.
So hopefully
yeah.
that's going on. But
yeah. I guess we'll know when we see it. So,
yep. So
it'll be good. So,
and I got to remember to sign up for that 92Y thing because I am just terrible at remembering any of this stuff. So.
Yeah, I still have to do that too. So we'll have to
yep.
Get all that done, but.
I had a few choice words for Chase. I'm like, I have umpteen Chase cards, except the United card.
See?
You know,
well,
really?
Yep.
You needed the United card. It was, United does a whole series of these.
Mm-hmm.
This was not,
okay.
this is not a one-off. United has a whole
okay.
series of these experiences that you can get
gotcha.
Only with United cards. So it's not
yeah.
Chase, it's United, you know. There's
okay.
the Disney Chase Visa, and there's the United Chase, and they do all of these great things, and that's what you need. So
yeah, my Disney card says member since day one. I got the card just because I wanted the card, and I wanted the card, and it was now umpteen years later. I'm trying to think of how many years I've had that card when they started with it. Because there was another bank before Chase that had it, and then it switched over to Chase.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember
J.P.
that.
Morgan. J.P. Morgan. Yeah, because J.P. Morgan and Chase kind of merged, yeah.
Yeah.
It was I forget, maybe Bank One or something. I don't remember.
Bank of America.
There was some
maybe.
Other bank. Yeah,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
So.
But
did I hear that you have not watched Bridgerton yet?
I have not. No.
Oh my gosh.
I know she's way behind the times.
I think
I have a whole bunch
I've
of things that I haven't watched. So.
I've watched it 3, maybe 4 times.
Have you really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The, you know what
now
that
I'm
means,
on book 2.
Jamie. You know what that means? You have not watched Star Trek enough.
Yeah. I'm well. I that was the early part of my courtship with my husband that he was handing me VHS tapes that he recorded either in his dorm room or his bedroom, and he still had them. And it's like, okay. And so then they just had come out on DVD, and so he was getting them, and he was like, I have to watch it first, and then I can loan it to you. And so, mm-hmm. so yeah.
So romantic.
Yes. Well, Jamie, you'll have to call in next week and tell us what you thought of how they handled Culloden. All right?
I will try to remember. Tuesday is my birthday.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll have a virtual cake for you.
Oh,
but
yeah. So then there's no calories in that.
Right, exactly. That's the way it works. When I saw the doctor today, or the PA, she told me I could only eat things that came in God's packaging. So
That's an interesting way of putting it.
Right. If I had to peel it, that was fine. But if it came in a jar or a box, I couldn't eat it. So I'm assuming that anything that comes in God's packaging doesn't have any calories. So that's
sure.
how we know we're in your cake. So we're going to say goodnight to you. We've got a caller, and we want to see who this is, all right?
Bye,
have
Jamie.
A
good night, ladies.
Bye,
thanks
Jamie.
For calling. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we have caller number 2 tonight. If you want to call in and chat with us, 929-477-3898. Hi, you're on the air. Who is this?
This is Kathy McQuiston.
Hi, dear you.
Oh, hi,
How
Kathy.
Are you?
I'm okay.
How are you?
Great. I've just been enjoying listening to the show. Hang in here.
Oh, good.
Where we shamelessly plug you for the third week in a row. No.
it's like woo-hoo. But I do, I have one little thing. I know why interesting the word has a bad rap, but sometimes things are really interesting and they are of interest to you. And so it is perfectly acceptable to use it during those times. I'm
good.
Just saying.
Except if your grandfather is in your head saying that's a noncommittal word.
I counted each of you saying the word interesting at least twice after you had that conversation.
Yes. Well, you know,
that's really interesting, Kathy.
We're rebels. We're rebels.
Okay, you win. That's it. I bow to your greatness.
Okay. All right.
I wanted to call in to let you know that we have, it's not tentative. We have decided that the next Liz Bolton talk is going to be kind of a combination of some Stirling Castle history.
Ooh.
And then a little history on something called Cloths of Estate. These are embroidery pieces, usually kind of tapestry kind of pieces that play a historical part in lots of different castles. And then Liz specifically worked on the Cloths of Estate for Stirling Castle. And she's going to talk about that project and show her work, and then have questions and answers. So it isn't directly related to Outlander this time, but she's had a very interesting, wide and varied career with her stitchery. And we've already discovered a number of people really enjoyed that aspect of it, not the Outlander bit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
definitely. Very good. And when will that be?
Well, I can't give you the exact time, but it's going to be April 24th, which is a Saturday.
Okay.
And if you've signed up for the newsletter that we talked about and that I think Carol Braun posted on the Outlandish, the 3 of 5 space.
Right, right.
If you've signed up for that, and we've had over 60 people sign up already, which is pretty exciting.
Very good.
We will let those people know first, and we will tell them when the tickets are on sale first, and then we'll let everybody else know. So
I have
it pinned to my Twitter, Cats and Kilts, and then like I said, it's posted in your group. It's I just scrolled down. It's a few posts down. To sign, and like I said, Carol Braun posted it for us.
So anyway,
I wanted to let everybody know about that. I think it's going to be really interesting. She's done the talk on Stirling before for the Embroiderer's Guild, because that's kind of a big deal. There's like a big Embroiderer's Guild, and they do talks and they do demonstrations. And if you're a member, I mean, I think she's... And I don't know that they've been able to do this because of COVID, but they used to do these things where they'd make these books where it would be a theme and each person would embroider something on that theme, and then it was put in a book. So I'm hoping she'll talk about that too. But anyway, I when I was a teenager, I don't know, a couple of you are kind of around my age, but do you remember the craze when everybody had work shirts and you embroidered them?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the blue denim
I didn't know
shirt.
If that was like a Texas thing or something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could get McCall's and Simplicity patterns to iron on, and then you'd embroider your work shirt, and it would be your personal. And that's pretty much the last time I embroidered.
Oh.
About 40, 60 years ago. So I don't even do it, but I really do enjoy learning about all the aspects of it. So
yeah, I did a lot of embroidery when I was in my 20s. I remember sitting in my dorm room and embroidering my jeans with roses and everything. But I did, you know, a lot of kits. Yeah, I did a lot of kits, you know, so they had a lot of fancy stitches and stuff. And one of the pieces is still in my parents' house. They've got hung up. Although the piece that I remember that I did that I gave to them, it seems to be lost somewhere, which doesn't make me happy. But what Liz does is a whole nother magnitude, from the kids that you can get. So. But just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, and so we're excited, and I can't remember. You'll have to forgive me because my memory has gone. You can ask Sam. it's all gone. But we are talking about seeing if there are other people that might want to join in and do some of these talks as well, because even though things are slowly starting to open up, people in the arts, of all different kinds of art, are still having a lot of trouble. So we're looking into that. So if you in your travels have met anyone in Scotland that has, you know, any kind of thing that you think that they might be interested in doing a talk on, please get them in touch with me.
Well, you know,
that goes for everybody.
I've talked to Barry Waldo quite a bit, and, you know, of course, he's Gary Steele's husband, and I could ask him if there are any of the designers or anybody who might be interested in
chatting. That would be great.
Yeah.
I have a friend who did tours, who was an extra on Outlander several times, I'm trying to work with her because not only did she do tours of places where they did Outlander programs, she's got that experience, and then she's also got the experience. She's done the stand outside all day in the freezing cold, waiting for Sam and Katrina to get done filming. And so she's got some good stories like that too. We're looking to put something together with her so that, you know, just to try and get everybody a little bit of income to help us out. I wanted to start this much earlier, but better late than never.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think
while
we're fun,
have you on, too.
Sorry. Oh, go ahead.
Finish your sentence.
Oh, I was going to say, you seem to be everywhere. I did mention you in my interview with Claire. So we were talking about Outlander fans being involved with artisans. And I mentioned that you had sponsored these talks with Liz. So.
Thank you.
That was part of our chat. So
you'll hear that if you listen to the recording, you'll hear that. No, I was going to say, since we had Kathy on there, Kathy and I both attended the United, and I forgot that was the day after our last thing. So we talked about the lead up to the Chase United Cardholders live stream with Sam, but we didn't actually, I mean, obviously my thoughts are all out there in the article, but Kathy, did you have a favorite story or a favorite, you know, what did you like best about that that event that you want to share with the class?
Well, I'm like you. I thought it was just really, really well run. You would think by now that everyone that does professional Zooms has everything under control, but I'm an example of how that isn't true. but it was really well done. I really enjoyed that. And I know a lot of people feel this way about Ginger Z also, but I just appreciate her so much because she is clearly a fan. She is not one of these people that just pretends to be a fan. She's a fan of the show, not just of Sam. She asks really thoughtful, intelligent questions. And none of the cringeworthy ones that we all hate to hear. But she doesn't talk too much, if you know what I mean. A lot of the interviewers are like me. Like when I get to talk to somebody in the show, I like waste half of the time with a long rambling question, and then they've got 5 seconds to answer it. So I really enjoyed that, listening to their discussion. And then of course I, like Sam, I think, well, I know she mentioned this in the article, but I was really excited that I got to ask them the question about what they were doing in the time of filming in COVID. And he did point out that really Men in Kilts was the first show, one of the first shows back filming. And so they were able to establish some protocols with that, even though it was a much smaller, you know, just two actors and a smaller group of people doing it. But that sort of gave them some experience. So when they came back to Outlander, and he said they have two machines, and he didn't say what kind of machines, but the assumption is testing machines, because right after he said, well, we have two machines and we all get tested once a day. So I'm assuming that's what he meant. And that they're in bubbles, and he didn't elaborate on like bubbles, but obviously he said something about the people who are acting together and so on. And then he did talk about, you know, when they're not on camera, they're wearing masks and sometimes the face guard. And then the promo for the Christies and then the promo for season 6, actually, you do get to see like the crew wearing masks and stuff off to the side, and how there's a lot less of them than there usually are. Mm-hmm. So, that was about all he said, right, Sam?
Oh, on your question, yeah. I mean, he answered it very thoroughly. He also said that he's very happy to say that there haven't been any major issues or incidents, you know, related to COVID, which is good to hear, because we worry about them too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because that's it. As much as I want him to come back, I was just like, oh my gosh, please don't let anybody get sick. Just don't let anybody get sick. So,
he was good. He's actually gotten much better over the years in skirting questions that he doesn't want to answer. He's actually, I really think, looking back to the first couple of times where he's good with public one-on-one and sometimes larger groups, he's a little bit shyer, but somebody flat out asked him, so what episode are you on right now? What are you filming? And he sidestepped that one so beautifully, saying, well, you know, and he told us some stuff we knew. We said, we film in two episode blocks. The blocks take 24 to 25 days to film. And we've been at it since January. So you do the math. You know?
the end of January. It's important that he said the end of January, right?
I didn't actually hear him say end. He said we've been at it since January.
Well, then I'm again hallucinating, because I had it in my mind. He said end of January, which it only makes a little bit of difference. But he did say something else that, again, he first said, you know, we're filming a lot out of sequence.
Right.
And they always do that to an extent. I mean, they talk about it a little, but I think probably they are. They're probably like going, okay, let's get all the stuff or as many episodes as we can that's going to be at the big house. And then, you know, whereas I think maybe in the past they would come back to the big house and do several things and then go away and then come back. But I have a feeling they're trying to do less travel, less movement to locations.
Right.
So I thought that was interesting, that part. Because he doesn't use, they don't usually talk about filming out a sequence. So, but yeah, he was much better. He still distracts himself with his own shiny objects, though, sometimes. He'll be talking and I'll go, oh!
And his inner geek came out only once, where Ginger Z was doing a very good job of moving people along, and like Kat was saying, she was, you know, trying to make sure that people weren't talking about themselves instead of asking him a question or telling him something, you know what I mean? And so she had just kind of reminded the group, you know, to keep the questions somewhat short or something like that. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry, I won't talk. She said, no, honey, not you. You can talk as much as you want. it was great.
Oh,
yeah. So it was definitely well worth it. And again, thank you, Sam, because even though I am a United Card member, I did not get an announcement of that. And I even went to the site. I even logged into the site and tried to find a place that says, please send me alerts about these.
Yeah.
And they do not have it close. So if you hadn't told me, I certainly wouldn't have known they were on sale the next day.
Ah, well, that's good to know, too, because I know some people, you know, usually get emails. Like, I get promotions from the cards that I've got. But like I said, mine was for a hotel frequent flyer,
yeah,
not United, so I may think about swapping them up, but anyway, but yeah, thank you very much for that one. It takes teamwork on some of these things, especially when it's so limited. This only had 100
yeah.
people maximum. Some
yeah.
of the other events and whatnot, as we start to see conventions and events, some of those are very limited too. Maybe not the event
yep.
itself, but maybe the photos are limited, or maybe a specific tier of ticket is limited. So sometimes
yeah.
it's very helpful to have a friend and have both of you trying, and we've been there before, Kath.
Yes.
We know all the tricks, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I sometimes blindly stumble into things, but luck out. But on this one, I have you to thank. So
we'll just be stumbling around lost together.
And, yeah, and to build on what you said, just real quick, I know you're coming to the end of the show. I am going to take the extra box I got of the goodies that includes a signed by Sam Clanlands. It's a book plate that's signed, but it's signed by Sam. One of the Sassenach whiskey flasks, not the whiskey, the flask, and several other things. But it's all men and kilts related, Scotland related. And I'm still working out the best way to do it. I want to try and make it so that more people have a chance of winning it. So that's why I'm not going to do an auction. I'm going to do some kind of, you know, you buy a ticket, and that's a chance to win it. And just keep an eye on the Cats and Kilt and the Kate O'Ryan fans on Twitter.
Very generous
and
of you. Yes.
Them. And I posted him a question on Facebook, so.
Very good.
That would be fun. I know
yeah,
there would be a lot of people
I
who would
some other stuff
want
I've
that.
Been collecting. Yeah.
Oh, good.
I have some other stuff I'm collecting, too. Like, I have a Funko Pop Janie that I'm going to give away in the same place.
Ooh.
And a what is it?
South African's Men's Health
magazine with Sam Heughan on the cover that Sam Heughan has signed.
Ooh,
wow. And so I think it would be ironic if all these Sam Heughan things raised money for Caitlin's charity, because all of my willpower not to ask him a Caitlin question.
Hey, you know, when somebody asks you the value of that magazine, that value cost me at least $2,000 or $3,000, because I had to fly to Paris to get him to sign that. So I want you to know that when somebody says, what's the value of that magazine, you tell them.
Well, I have to tell you, I knew it was a sucker trade when you took those two autograph cards.
But I already had one.
And Sam, that's why you went to Paris, right, Sam?
Yeah, but I got two of them signed, and this way this going towards a charity, because what am I going to do with the second one, right? Kat will do some good stuff with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an autograph. I got a couple of the cards that I didn't have from the Cryptozoic, so hey, it all worked out.
Yeah, and there was the trip to Paris.
Okay, I got one of those too. Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
Sorry. At some point, that has to factor in that you got
that's
some enjoyment
come.
Out of that.
It's got to count for something.
Yeah.
Pretty funny. Well, Kat, thank you for calling in and giving us all of that info.
Okay.
Hopefully you'll chat with us next week for our final Men in Kilts edition show.
Yeah,
and then I'll start pestering
all of y'all to start watching For All Mankind.
Okay. That's high on my list. That's definitely high on my list. So might even be higher
for all
than Bridger Cemetery.
For All Mankind is the history that could lead to Star Trek, because the history we have right now could not lead to the world of Star Trek. But For All
yeah.
Mankind would definitely have led to Star Trek. So I'm just saying
yeah.
it's kind of in your wheelhouse.
Yep, yep, yep. Well, yesterday was First Contact Day. So, you know, it all comes back to Star Trek, I think. So.
All right. Well, good night, y'all.
Bye, Kat.
Good night,
thank Kat. You.
Talk to you tomorrow. Talk to you soon. All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I got knocked off the air for some reason a couple minutes ago while Kat was on. So if I sound different, it's because I am currently on my phone. But we have no more callers and no more time. So I would like to encourage you to go to 3FI Space to check out Sam's article about the United Chase Card event with Sam Heughan last week, and my review of this week's Men in Kilts with some deep dive information about some of the feuds and some of the other things mentioned. And by the end of the day tomorrow, I should have the full interview and a whole bunch of extra stuff with Claire Campbell from Prickly Thistle. So lots going on 3FI Space, even if there's not a whole lot of stuff in the Outlander verse going
Outlander
on. Yes, yes, you know, we try to keep things moving. So hopefully we'll get all of that going, and then we'll be back next week. And beyond that, we really don't know at this point. A lot of it depends on how many people want to join us on the air, and how many people are interested in listening to us, even when there's nothing going on. I mean, we can always talk. As you know, we can talk about that. But if we have nothing to say to you, right, right. If we have
interesting, there's that word.
To say to you, right. So thank you, Sam. Thank you, Allison. I'm
thank
going
you
to
too.
Take us out today with Richard singing False Bride, and we will see you next week. Have a good evening.
All others that spoke of for she's gone to be with